tried to tell this man no. Take this off of mute, I guess. All right. We are thrilled. We are thrilled to be back. Yeah, he does not take no for an answer. For some of you who have tried it, he was didn't give you the full story on one thing. John Halls came back because he heard I was preaching today and drove all the way from Seattle to be here. John, thank you. John and I had a great visit yesterday while we were watching the young people ride the horses. My, what a crowd we had. There's some pictures on Facebook that I took, and I got home and realized I had taken pictures of the riders. I didn't take pictures of all of us eating together, and boy, that was it was a great time. So if you missed that, I'm sorry, we'll be doing it. You going to do it every Saturday? My goodness. Well, you have to get even when and however you can. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter. Luke chapter 9, I'm going to give you just a minute to find that. I'm going to begin reading in verse 23, and I'm going to kind of take two sections out of here that are directly tied together to bring the message this morning. I want you to stand with me now, if you would, as we honor the Word of God. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 23, and I'm going to read down through verse 26, and then we're going to skip all the way to 57, okay? Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 23. Then he said to them all, now this is Jesus speaking, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And we're going to see that word popping up over and over again this morning in the message, follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Now, I believe with all my heart, and I think I can prove it adequately in Scripture, that he's not talking here about physical life and death. I think he's talking about spiritual life and death. I think it's obvious that we are going to die. We're born to die, and so physical death comes into play. But I think he's talking about living for him. And when we try to live for self, we lose ourselves. And when we live for him, we gain everything. And that's what he's talking about. Verse 25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Loses everything. What's he gained? If he gains it all and loses it all, he hasn't gained much, has he? Verse 26, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Now skip down, if you will, to verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road. Now this is the same incident here. As they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I'll follow you. Remember, that's how we started, talking about following. I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That guy seemed to disappear. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead, and when you do a little research on this, you realize that he's talking here about spiritually dead. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. But let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, as we go through the Word, we find many hard passages. We find many hard stories. We find many hard doctrines. But Lord, perhaps none any more difficult than this one. On the surface, it's very easy to understand. You said, follow me, and that's what we ought to do. But when we look beyond and that and deeper into that, we realize what a struggle we face in following you. Because in reality, Lord, you're calling us to a life totally different from what the world understands. Totally different, perhaps, than the life we had at one time. A life that may be filled with all kinds of dangerous pitfalls and difficulties. But Lord, that's all in the phrase, follow me. Help us to understand today what you meant, Lord, in this particular story as you told it to these men who were by your side at this time. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When it comes to Jesus and his ministry, every Christian must make a decision, okay? Am I a fan or a follower? Am I a fan or a follower? Now, we've all seen fans. I mean, baseball season is starting. Basketball is just over. And football now will be. In fact, it's to the point now where all three pretty much overlap each other. Because fans pay for things. And so the more games they've got going on, the more fans they've got coming and screaming and hollering. And isn't it strange that fans are pretty fickle? As long as you're winning, they're there. The minute you start losing, they begin to disappear. Am I a fan or a follower? Jesus, throughout his ministry, was looking for followers, not fans. He did not need any fans, okay? Jesus doesn't want, he doesn't need, he didn't look for fans. He desires followers. As I said a moment ago, fans are fickle. The same fans that shouted, "Hail Hosanna," 6 days later were hollering, crucify him, kill him. That's fans. He was and is looking for people to follow him. The thing that separates fans from followers is what Jesus was calling them to. Often it was suffering and ridicule and excommunication and death. Not too appealing. Come follow me. And I'm going to show you misery like you've never known. I'm going to show you persecution. You're going to lose everything you've got, but come follow me. Not too appealing. It's fun to cheer and shout and raise our hands. Now, let me say something. Folks, nothing wrong. You see Brother Lanny and I and some of you out there, raise your hand. The Bible's full of incidents where folks raise their hands to praise and glorify God. Nothing wrong with raising your hands. But I don't think we need to do the wave here at Osage Baptist, okay? That's a fan. That's what fans do. We're followers. See, there's a world of difference. So I'm not telling you don't raise your hand. I'm encouraging you. Please, as the Lord leads, lift your hands to heaven. Not a thing in the world wrong with that. Often, it was a fun thing to follow Jesus. And then the hard times came. At least 16 times in the Gospels, Jesus says clearly, follow me. And when we commit to Jesus as a follower, we have to realize that it means three things if we're going to follow him. Three things, okay? And we're going to look at those three this morning. Maybe not the prettiest things, but the absolute necessities based on the Word of God. Look back, if you will, to verse 57 now. And we're going to look at the first requirement here. If we follow him, we must follow him wherever he sends. As Brother Lanny shared with you earlier, I said no to this church twice and I'm here this morning. wherever. In August, we will have been back in Arkansas 1 year. Now, August is quite a ways away. Since July of last year, we sold a house, bought a house, and moved twice. And I believe with all my heart, in every situation, that's where, exactly where God wanted us. Exactly what God wanted us to do. I don't see that as fickle or ridiculous. I see that as simply following wherever He sends us. Now, I love being back in Arkansas. Don't misunderstand. I love being here. But I'm where God sent me. Now, the man's answer here sounded really good. Look in verse 57. I will follow you wherever you go. Liar, liar, tails on fire. That's my kids used to say. I'll follow you wherever you go. Lord, it doesn't matter where you go. I'll follow you. Sounds good, doesn't it? But look at Jesus' response. Foxes have dens to live in, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. And you're saying you'll follow me? Remember, folks, Christianity is a way of life, not a religion. Okay? It's a way of life. Wherever He sends me. Christianity was never intended to be easy, only essential. See, it is absolutely essential that you be a Christian. It may not be easy. It may be easy. I'm not sure. I'm going to make a statement here, and it's simply what I believe. May not be right at all. But I think maybe the problem with the church in America today is we have it too easy. You look at places like China and India and certain parts of Africa where Christianity is exploding. Because their Christians are being killed. They're being persecuted. They're being ostracized from their community and from their family. And it's just exploding. In America, Christianity is really on the decline for the most part. And that is sad, sad, sad. It was never intended to be easy, only essential. Now, what does wherever mean to us? Okay, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? Wherever. I'll follow you wherever. Well, it means you'll follow him to church. You say, and look, I'm here. Now, please don't raise your hand, but how many of you were in Sunday school? And how many of you weren't? Well, that's a little early. I'm not a big fan. We had a ball in Sunday school this morning. We kind of got out of hand there a time or two. I'm sorry about that, but it was Kim's fault. Well, we had a ball, and I know some of the other classes did too. It's fun, but it's a learning time, folks, and it's essential. Why do we don't have it just because some other church has it. We have it, but there's a purpose in Sunday school. It's to learn. You're not going to get much from this 45 minutes or hour and a half or whatever I take to preach this morning. But Sunday school just doubles that, doesn't it? And there's a reason for it, okay? At work, you know, don't go out the door and leave Jesus at the church, folks. He's in you. And he needs to go to work with you in the morning. Wherever. I'll follow you. All right, wherever. Well, it's hard at work. Yeah. At home. Lanny said something about a rolling pin. Now, none of you young folks know anything about rolling pins. It's a deal that you use to make pie crusts and bread and stuff. I won't go into details, but it won't go in the microwave, okay? At play. Some folks, boy, take a vacation, and they take a vacation from God. They take a vacation from church, from responsibility. With your friends, with your relatives. It may mean another town, another state, another country. What does it mean to follow Jesus wherever he sends you? What does that mean? What does it mean to you? See, it doesn't matter what it means to me. What does it mean to you? If you're a follower, what does it mean to you? Where are you willing to follow him? Where are you going to be with him? Let's look at the second thought this morning. We must follow him whenever he calls. Whenever. Maybe real inconvenient sometimes. But look, if you will, down a little bit further there, verse 59 and 60. When he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now, again, the excuse sounded good. The excuse sounded good. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But as I said, you look into this a little deeper, and the Lord is talking about spiritually dead folks. In Ephesians chapter number 2, and in verse 1, and again in verse 5, almost identical verses there, because God's trying to make a point to us. But he says, you has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before you knew Jesus, you were spiritually dead. Separated from God totally. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you come alive spiritually. And this is what he's talking about here. Let me share something with you. Now, Brother Lanny may have something different, and Brother Chuck's a preacher, he's here, and Shane may have done something different, but I've never led a dead person to the Lord. Ever had a dead person saved, Brother Lanny? Doesn't work that way, does it? And that's what he's trying to say to this young man. You got to get your priorities straight, young man. You've got to get your priorities straight. You need to come and follow me. Family's important, okay? Please don't misunderstand. And the Bible is totally clear on this. And we can find verse after verse, and one that I like better than any, where Paul said a man that won't take care of his own family is worse than an infidel or a lost person, an unbeliever. We're supposed to take care of our family. But folks, the priorities of God never conflict. Did you know that? The Word of God never, I don't care what people tell you, I don't care what you hear, there are no conflicts in the Word of God. None whatsoever. Sometimes you have to do a little studying. Sometimes you have to look a little deeper. But there are no conflicts in the Word of God. And there's no conflicts in the priority of God. I can take care of my family and take care of the business of God simultaneously without either one having to suffer. Now, why do they suffer? Because for many years as a young preacher, I was too busy serving the Lord to take care of my family. And my family, even today, is reaping some of that. But I was important. I was a reverend. I was busy. I was doing the Lord's work. My wife can probably tell you exactly, but I don't know. Went 3 or 4 years. She may say longer than that. Without ever taking a day off. Because I was too important. What I was doing is too important to take a day off. But God told me to. And I disobeyed him. Now, what's more important? Obeying God? I'm working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. See, priorities. God's priorities never conflict.